and welcome to week 15 of an undetermined number. On Ezra and Nehemiah, we are in chapter 5. I'm hoping to get well into chapter 6 this week. Last week we saw that in the beginning of chapter 5 there was a renewed charge to build the Beis HaMikdash, to build the temple, led by Haggai and Zechariah, prophets of the time. And the Jews start to continue their building. And we said, you already know this, but I'll just recap it quickly. We have a lot of people who, from I can say, welcome back. We know that either they had stopped building because of intimidation from the Samaritans, or they had stopped building because the Samaritans had sent a letter to the Persian government saying, you don't want to let the Jews build. If they build and they're secure, then they're going to rebel. They'll stop paying taxes. And that's why they stopped. The debate about that is because the passage that described in chapter 4, that described the Samaritan letter to the Persians, may belong there in the book, or may be transplanted from later on as an illustration of the steps the Samaritans took, but it actually didn't occur chronologically then. It's from later on when they're building the walls of Jerusalem. So the Jews have stopped either way, whether because of bullying directly or whether because of politics. And now, Haggai and Zechariah, the prophets, push the Jews to rebuild. Zerubbabel, the political leader, Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, lead the charge for them to build. And then they get a visit from the local zoning board. Tatnai, the governor, says, excuse me, but what do you think you're building here? Who licensed you to do that? And the Jews respond, actually, it was, you know, Cyrus who told us that we could build. And not only did he tell us that we could build, but he gave us back our kelim. He gave us back our vessels. And he put our leaders in charge of doing the construction. And so Tatnai, the governor, sends a letter back to headquarters, to the capital, saying, what's going on? Are these Jews supposed to be building? Are they not supposed to be building? Last time we discussed the question of whether Tatnai is a bad guy. Is he affiliated with the Samaritans and trying to obstruct our construction because he doesn't like us? Or doesn't like our religion or whatever? Or is he simply a functionary? This is his job. He's supposed to make sure that things are on the up and up. Jews building temple isn't on his list. And therefore he wants to send off to headquarters and find out. I am biased, I think, towards the latter read. That he's a functionary. He's just trying to make sure everything is on the up and up. Which is why he allows the Jews to continue to build. And when the text says that it was a miracle from God that the Jews were able to keep on building, even as he sent off the letter, you can either read that as, it's amazing, he hated us, and yet God worked it that he allowed us to build, or alternatively, the alternative read, I think it was from Malbim, is the miracle is that it was Tatnai the governor who came after us and not the Samaritans. Had it been the Samaritans, we wouldn't have gotten off so easy, and we wouldn't have been able to build while the investigation was going on. This all rings a bell, I hope. Okay. Yeah, sure. So we were in the middle of reading the letter that Tatnai sent. And we were noting the way that elements in the letter work in our favor. So one piece that was in the letter, it was chapter 5, sentence 8. If you're using the stone Tanakh, it is at the bottom of page 1823. One of the elements that we highlighted in the letter is that the Jews are building with layers of wood between the stone. Right? In chapter 5, sentence 8, we said that it's being built with marble, but there's wood between the layers. And this is a helpful note in the letter, says Malbim, because it says that this isn't a rebellion. Because if you're building something that's part of a revolt, you're worried that they're going to come burn down your building. You don't include wood within the structure. The point that we're going to have to revisit later on. Second, the statement is the building is actually going very well. Thank you very much. And saying that the building is going very well also works in our favor. It says we're not running into trouble with the locals. It's a friendly project. So that's also a positive element. And then there was one more element that we saw in chapter 5, sentence 10, that we didn't get to read the Malbim's comment on, which is that this fellow Tatanai, when he sends his letter back to headquarters, says, who exactly is the one in charge here? Who told you that you should build? And he says, I asked them the name, and I recorded the name, and the names are the names of the Jewish leadership. So on this, if you take a look at your sheet, Malbim writes, Begam ze letova, this also was in our favor. Ladas, to know, ki beroshem omed ha-pecha, v'hu lo yaseh davar b'lo rishus, to know that the pecha of the time, originally, bless you, Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel / Sheshbatzar, bless you, as we've discussed, had stood at the head of the Jews, and if he's the pecha, that means he's an official of the throne. He's not going to act without license. If he's doing this, it's okay. It must be true that in fact these Jews have permissions. This is another note that helps the Jews. Okay, so that's Tatnai's initial inquiry, and then we get how the Jews responded to him. So we're in the text now. We're in chapter 5, sentence 11. If you're using the Stone Tanakh, you want to be at the top of page 1825. We read Tatnai's own text that describes what he saw, and now he's going to record the Jewish response. And he says, Uchneima Pisgama, when I said these words, meaning by inquiry of them of what in the world they think they're doing with this construction project, Hasivuna Lememar, they answered me, saying, Anachna Himo Avdoi Di Alaka Shemaya Va'ara, we are servants of the God of the heavens and the earth. Uvanayan Baisa Dihava Bene Mikadmas Dinash Nin Sagion, and we're building the house that was around already for many years. Umelach Yisrael, Rav Binoi Vishachlale, and a great king of Israel built it and strengthened it. Lahain, therefore, Mindi Hargizu Avahasana Leilaka Shemai. I'm sorry, not therefore. Lahain is but, right? But because our ancestors angered Leilaka Shemaya, the God of the heavens, Yahav Himo Biad Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Kasta. He gave them into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar, Uvaisa Dinasasrei. He destroyed this house, Nebuchadnezzar did, Ba'ama Hagli Levavel, and he exiled the nation to Babylon. So, what are they accomplishing by saying this? Why do they want to make sure to say this? What do they achieve by giving him this history? What point are the Jews trying to make?
Well,
we were there before, Beria says, right?
And they didn't do any harm.
Well,
that's
some might disagree with that point, but yes, we were here before. This isn't a new project. This is reconstruction of what had been here before. And, yeah?
Would it also refer to the fact that it's really in the hands of Hashem what's happened?
Well, it depends
who
they want to impress.
Do you mean that? Do you mean Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, he was just a
well, that's okay. They get to mean Nebuchadnezzar. They're talking to the Persians.
Gone. Yeah.
They're talking to the Persians. The Persians don't like Nebuchadnezzar. That's easy. But putting it in the hands of God doesn't necessarily impress the worshippers of Ahura Mazda.
Yeah.
But what it does do, yeah, Debbie.
I have a sort of a bigger question.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the building inspector, and he's asking for your papers. So the Jews write to Darius or send something to Darius. Can we have a copy of our papers?
Well, he's going to be the one to send that message to Darius.
Okay. Oh, the building inspector. Okay.
Yeah.
So why do we need all of this?
Right. Well, that's my question, is what are they accomplishing by saying
but
this?
All of this. Not just that.
What do you mean?
And we go to chapter 6.
Oh, no. We haven't gone to chapter 6 yet. We're in chapter 5.
No, but
6 is coming.
The rest of 5 is all explanation.
Correct.
Of and justification for.
Yeah.
So
that's the question, is what I asked you first. So what they're trying to say, I think in part, is what Beria highlighted, which is, we're not some new group that's coming here to build a temple. This is where we were before, right? Don't listen to UNESCO or whatever. We have roots in this area. This is where our temple was. And we're back to continue the construction, but more. We were evicted because of our sins, And now that's been atoned for. That's already taken care of. As Malbim notes in source number 2 on your sheets, Chorbano haya v'sivas ha'avonos. The destruction was because of sins. Ukranis kapar avonos seyem ayidei agalus. Exile has taken care of that. We are now back where we are supposed to be. And therefore, don't give us a hard time. So this Tatnai, the governor, is a very faithful servant of the throne. He's recording dutifully everything that he asked. Here are the questions that I asked them, and here are the answers that they gave. Whether he's impressed or not, we don't know. He doesn't, color it. He says, this is what they said to me. And they're in a very straightforward way. And not only that, look what comes next. He says to them, they say, he records that they said, Pasuk Yud Gimel, sentence 13, Baram, but, Bishnas Chada L'Choresh Malka Divavel, in year 1 of Cyrus, king of Babylon, Choresh Malka Sam Te'im, Beis Elaka Dina Libnei, Choresh the king himself, gave the order to build this house. Choresh gave the order to build the house, but you notice what they called him? The king of Babylon. Is he the king of Babylon?
Yes.
The answer is yes and no. Right? Yes, he is the king of Babylon in the sense that he conquered Babylon. But no, in the sense that he's the king of the Persian Empire. He's not Babylonian. King of Babylon sounds like that's his role. His role is king of the Persian Empire, of which a subsidiary is now Babylon.
But it's the first year of him being in
Correct.
Babylon.
Right.
And he can supersede the decree of the Babylonians.
Right. So one suggestion you could make here is that it's because his reign over Babylon was what gave him control over the Jews, and it's in his first year as the king of Babylon that he frees us to go home. You could also suggest that it's because the next sentence is about to say that he gave us the vessels to bring back, which he got out of his palace in Babylon. In other words, he's the king of Babylon. He has the vessels there in his palace. And remember, his capital city, as we'll see in chapter 6, Debbie knows, is actually in Babylon. His capital is there. So it's not so crazy to associate him with it. But I think fundamentally, the main point is because his reign over Babylon was what gave him control over us. We were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and now we are living under Cyrus, king of Babylon, and he is the one who's going to, who sent us back to our land. And so they write, Vinya Dalit, Va'af manaya divais elaka didava v'chaspa. And also the vessels of the house of God, these vessels of gold and silver, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the palace in Jerusalem, took them with him to the palace in Babylon, Cyrus, the king, took them out of the palace in Babylon, and he gave them to Sheshbatzar, who he made into the Pecha. So Sheshbatzar is interestingly the one here, but he gave us the vessels. And as Malbim notes in source number 3, they hold this up as evidence. He says there are two proofs here that they're right. Number one, we have the vessels. And number two, Mimasha Sheshbatzar, who Pecha Kavua Menamelech. Sheshbatzar was a licensed Pecha. They loved Tziva Livnos. He was the one to whom Cyrus said, build. He's the builder. And he's not going to do that without permission, which we already saw the point that Malbim made earlier. So so this is proof that we are licensed to be here. Now here we talk about Sheshbatzar as the key player within what happens, and that's going to continue here in the chapter. So keep your eye on who's in charge. Now it's not Zerubbabel, now it's Sheshbatzar. We're going to have to figure that out. But what we're seeing here is that Tatnai writes a letter home, and he includes within it his challenge, and he includes within it the questions he asked the Jews, and he includes it the answers the Jews gave, which seem to all be on the up and up. Everything seems to be in order, except you're missing one thing, right? You're missing Darius's letter. Right, no one thought to hold on to the actual letter that said Jews can go back and build. Right, that's like the most important document you have. Why in the world did you not keep this? But what can I tell you? We have no papers, but we have everything else. We have the vessels to show for it. He was the Pecha. We didn't think anyone was going to requisition our tax returns going back all those years. We thought that we could get rid of them at this point.
Or they never had it in the first place. Or maybe it was just in the royal records.
No, there was a written letter that was sent throughout the kingdom, right? That was going back to the beginning of the book, and it was stressed that this was actually recorded and circulated. It was, in sentence one, Vayaver kol b'chol malchuso, he passed the message around his kingdom, v'gam b'michtav, and in writing. This was a written document, and they just, were in high school, and you know what happens to papers when you're in high school. I had it here somewhere. That's what they did. They lost the papers. Okay. Yes. Some people don't get out of high school. Okay. The Va'amarle. Va'amarle. We're in Pasuk Tezvav, sentence 15. El Manaya. These vessels say you should take them. That's what Cyrus said to Sheshbatzar. Take these vessels, Ezel, and go. Aches himo behechla di Yerushalayim. Bring them up to the palace in Jerusalem. Uveis elaka yis b'nei al asrei. And the house of God will be built in its place. Edayin Sheshbatzar deich. This is still the Jews speaking. Asa yahav ushaya di veis elaka di Yerushalayim. This Sheshbatzar, he went and established the Ushaya, which we've said are either the walls or the foundations, of the house of God in Jerusalem. And from then until now, we've been building it, and we haven't yet finished the construction. They don't mention here, and by the way, the Samaritans gave us a hard time, right? Either because they want to emphasize that everybody's good with the project, right? Or because if you mention the Samaritans, you know what's going to happen next? He's going to go to the Samaritans and ask for their side of the story, and they're going to say all the nasty things they want to say. So sometimes you're better off not including information, because the more you include, the more you're asking for trouble. So they don't mention anything. That they just say, yeah, we're still working on this this thing that Sheshbatzar had started. That's their claim that they make. And in Pasuk Tezayin, sentence 16. That's what they. That's their argument. And so the chapter concludes with a closing sentence from them, from Tatanai. Uchan, and now, Heid al Malkatav. If it's good in the eyes of the king, right? And if you remember the language of Megillat Esther, that rings a bell. Imal Hamelech Tov, right? That's a standard phrase for the day. If it will be good in the eyes of the king, Yisbakar beveis kinzaya di Malka sama di bevavel. Let it be checked out in the records of the king there in Babylon. Hein isai di minkarash malka sim te'em lemivnei beis elaka dech birushleim. Do you have any instructions there from Cyrus to build the house of God in Jerusalem? Or us malka al dina yishlach aleina. Let the king please send us his desire. Tell us what you want. Tell me what you want me to do, king, because I'm not really sure where to go from here. They don't have the official paperwork. What should they do?
It's interesting that in both letters they say, well, why don't you check the history books?
Well, because
the Samaritans and this guy.
Right. Well, the records are very important to the Persians. I mean, think of Megillat Esther and Achashverosh and the whole story with Mordechai also. Records were a big deal once we invented them. Go check the archives. Go see. It's interesting that Sheshbatzar gets credited here. This goes back to the problem that we discussed earlier on. Sheshbatzar is described here as being the one to establish the walls or foundations. But Zerubbabel was there in chapter 3 when they actually set up the temple, when he set up the Beis HaMikdash. So this supports the idea that Sheshbatzar is Zerubbabel, which we discussed way back when in introducing chapter 2. And it's stated by various people, Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel may be two names for the same individual. And that would explain why it is that we're crediting Sheshbatzar when earlier we said it was Zerubbabel. So the request is made. This is what the Jews are saying. The Jews go on at length in their presentation because they want to present everything they have. I don't have the key letter, But here's all the information that supports our case. Now, one question that was asked last time, I just wanted to follow up on, is the question of where is Tatnai based? Is Tatnai normally based in this area? Is he somewhere else? So I went looking to find this, and it turns out there's a lot of confusion on this front. It is not at all clear where Tatnai's base of operations is. One suggestion brought in the Encyclopedia Mikra'it is that he's in Rivla, because this was the seat of administration for the district of Eber Hanahar, this whole area west of the Jordan. The Rivla itself is described in the Chumash. It's north of the Kinneret, but roughly the same longitude as the Kinneret. So in other words, just north of the Kinneret in the northeast of Israel. So that's one suggestion. On the other hand, there's evidence of the Achashdar Panim, who we said last time are the next layer up in government. They govern larger regions and have a pecha of different regions beneath them, so their basis in the region seems to be in Tripoli. So it's possible that he was operating in Tripoli. The question is only, did he have his own center? Sorry? Yeah. Sorry? Is...
I thought far away from...
Yeah. Well, it is. In other words, Tripoli is a central regional headquarters. It could be he's based there. It could be that he has his own sub-area that he's, and he's in Rivla for this local area. We don't know. The only other thing that we do know is that his successor is a fellow by the name of Belshunu, and he had land in northern Syria. But that doesn't really tell us anything. It doesn't mean his headquarters were there. It means that with his successor on land. That doesn't give us anything to work with. So the Jews are trying to build the Beis HaMikdash. They're trying to build the temple. They are now not blocked, but challenged by Tatnai, who says, you can keep on building, but I'm writing away to the headquarters. And boy, if they tell me something I don't like, you're going to get in trouble. And so the letter gets home. And here's what we find. Chapter 6, sentences 1 to 5. Okay, still on page 1825 if you're using the Stone Tanakh. Beidayin, at that point, Daryavash Malka Samtein, King Darius gave the order. Uvankaru Beves Sifraya Diginzaya Mahachasin Tama Bibavel. And they went to look in the library where you would store away documents there in Babel. Now that phrase is a very hard phrase to render. There's a problem with one key word in that phrase. The art scroll I see renders it as, a scroll was discovered in a patch in the palace in the province of Media. The key word is the word Achmeta. Is that how all of you, I see not all of you are using the art scroll. Is that how all your translations work? They render Achmeta as a pouch of some kind?
No.
No, what do you got?
A citadel of Ekbatana in the province of Medea.
Citadel of Ekbatana. Ekmatana. They put a bet.
That's really English, not
okay,
the
yeah, yeah. Okay, so... Okay, the fortress is on the word Birta.
Oh.
The fortress is not another translation of that.
It is a roll, and therein was the record thus written.
Yeah, so that's not... The Achmeta, though, they're taking as a receptacle still. But the debate is Achmeta a place, or is Achmeta a receptacle? Sorry?
It's just rendered it in English.
Yeah. Achmeta. So they're taking it as a place.
So the stomach has it as a not a shawar, a leather pouch.
Right. So the truth of the matter is, you could render this word either way. We'll talk about why this matters. Why am I making a big deal out of this? You'll see once we finish these psukim. I want to come back to this. But they do find, lo and behold, somewhere in this palace, citadel, whatever you want to call it, in Media, Megillah Chada, one scroll. V'chein k'siv b'gava d'chrona. And this was the record that was written in it. Bishnas Chada L'Choresh Malka, in year one of King Cyrus, Choresh Malka Sam Te'im, Choresh the king gave the order, Beis Elaka Birushleim Baisa Yisbenei, that the house of God in Jerusalem should be built. Asar di Dovchin Divchin, the place where they would bring sacrifices, Vi Ushohi Misoblin, and its Ushohi, which once again are either walls or foundations, should be strengthened. Rumei Amin Shitin, its height should be 60 amos tall. You're talking about, you know, somewhere in the range of 100 feet. Something along those lines, 100 feet, different number in meters. The Saye Amin Shitin, and 60 amos wide. Presumably it's not a two-dimensional building. There's a third dimension here, but they don't bother to mention it. I would guess since you had 60 and 60, why not go for, you know, a full 360s and make it 60, 60, 60. We'll talk about that a little bit also. Nidbachin di Evan Gilal Talasa. Three layers of marble, the nidbach di achadas, and then a layer of wood. So he's not only giving instructions to build, but he's telling them what it should look like. Marble, 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 wood. Marble, 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 wood. And like I said, the business of the wood from earlier is going to come back here and be significant. The nifkasam in base malka tisyehev, the best news in the entire scroll, your expenditures are going to be bankrolled by the king. V'af money base elaka, as well as the vessels of the house of God, didava v'chaspa di Nebuchadnezzar hanpeik min hechla dibi rushleim v'hevel levavel, the vessels from the house of God made of silver and gold, made of gold and silver, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the palace in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, yasivun, let them be given back. V'hachla hechla dibi rushleim la'asrei, they should go back to the temple in Jerusalem to its place, v'saches b'beis elaka, and they should be placed in the house of God. So this is a confirming scroll that's discovered in the archives, which seems to match what we are reporting. We're going to pause there, because there's more to the letter. He's not done with Tatnai. He's got more to tell Tatnai. But any questions here on this? There should be questions.
He seems very involved.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Cyrus was dictating the contents of the building. Yeah?
It's interesting that he calls it the house of God, not their house of God or your house of God.
Right. When we started the book, we noted that this seems to be his style, meaning if you look at the cylinder where we have recorded his similar message to the Babylonians about building theirs, he also speaks as though he's a worshiper of their deity. Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't say in Parak Aleph the details about the wood and the marble.
It doesn't say in where?
In Parak Aleph beginning.
Good.
Why isn't that information there?
Yeah. In the version of this that appeared back in the beginning, right, the original decree, we think of it as the original decree, we said, so declares Cyrus, king of Babylon, all the empires of the land have been given to me by the God of heaven. He has commanded me to build a house in Jerusalem in Judea. Whoever among you who has his God, may his God be with him, let him go to Jerusalem in Judea, let him build up the house of God in Jerusalem. And all those who remain behind, make sure you help fund this this trip. That was it. There was nothing there about the wood and the versus the marble. There was nothing there about the king bankrolling it. Right? So why did these two not look the same? Oh boy. Yeah, we are not going there.
Could be that the first one is like a second-hand reporter. It's
yeah.
Not the actual order.
Yeah.
It's just said that's what he said. Whereas here, it's the actual document.
So you think the first one is not the actual document, and this one is the actual document? On what basis?
This is so detailed. Now, the other one says, oh, the king said, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so we're going to have to deal with this question of the dissimilarity. How about the place where you found it? Where did you look and where did you find?
You looked. Yeah, well, he looked in the palace, but he found it somewhere else.
Well, they looked in Bethel. You looked in Babylon and you found it in Media.
What is Media or Media? What is
another
area?
Where their library?
So the Medes are supposed to be allies of the Persians when they conquer Babylon. But how did this decree end up in Madai? What exactly was it that happened here? It's a very strange thing.
Forgery.
So I also have a separate question. Yeah.
Well, how
happened, and it was the summer palace of the
good.
Kids.
Good. So I have a ringer.
The queen goes to Balmoral in the summer. Hamadan is very high in the mountains in Iran.
Yes.
So they went there in the summertime to get away from the heat of Shusha.
Yes, indeed.
I read a few things.
Yes, and you have read correctly. So we're going to come back to that, but the possibility is that Achmita is not a pouch, but Achmita is a place known today as Hamadan. So we're going to talk about this in a little bit as well. But I have a question that has to come first, which is, why weren't you worried about them finding the document that was written saying, stop building? In other words, you're cheering them on, saying, hey, go dig through your archives. You're not worried about them finding a document that says, stop building? Especially, and they actually didn't find a document that said, stop building. There's nothing there. What were you doing? Didn't you remember the story from chapter 4?
Yeah.
So what's the answer? So your answer, I think, is number one, this will support the view that says that what we saw in chapter 4 was not chronological in the book. It's a story from later on. There was no decree to stop at this stage in history. They had stopped only because of the intimidation of the Samaritans. I think this supports that chronology of the book. Alternatively, if you read the chronology straight, and if you say chapter 4 really happened before chapter 5, then the answer may be because if you look carefully at that original decree in chapter 4 against building, it said, stop building while we investigate further and decide what to do until I give you a different order. So it wasn't as though it was a firm statement of you can't build and you don't have a right to build, and therefore they weren't afraid of it being discovered, and indeed it wasn't an impediment. So that would be the answer the other way. But let's talk about what did happen here in chapter 6. They search in the storage areas, right? In chapter 6, sentence 1, we say they search in the storage areas in Babylon, and they find it in Achmata Bibirta in Madai. So what is this Achmata? So Rashi tells you, and I brought it for you in number 4, V'nimtza mechtav sham begila achat sham be'achmata. They found the text of one scroll in an Achmata. And he says, Kain patru anshei ha'pitaron. Linguists explain, Shu kli ha'asoy li'igrot u'l'gilyonim u'l'sfarim. That is a vessel made to hold letters, sheets, books, and such as a pouch. V'emidu migzeras chemes mayim. He quotes you the phrase which we find in the Chumash. Chemet mayim means a pouch that holds water. So chemet achmeta, it's a vessel. And that's one way to look at it.
Could it be connected to the word amtata, from the brothers of...
And just have the switching of the letters. It's an interesting idea. Yeah, amtata, right, no, it's true. I don't know, it's an interesting idea.
The question is, how important it is that it was found in a pouch?
Well, the answer would be, we give that kind of detail here in general. They found it in a pouch, in a place, and whatever. That wouldn't bother me so much that they would say it. I could see that. But the other read is that this document that is found is actually found not in a pouch, but rather it's found in this city in Persia. How in the world did it get there? So the Malbim gives you a suggestion. He says in source number 5, Nira ki ir hamalucha hayatchila bibavel. He says, originally the capital city was in Babylon. And that's where you had the books recording all of the king's executive orders. As well as the letter that Cyrus had sent about building. It was there in Babel. But we know that in Achashverosh's time, they moved the capital to Shushan, which is in the land that had formerly been called Elam. As the text says, it was in Shushan. So the answer that Malbim offers is the capital moves. So Achashverosh moved it from Babel to Shushan, and Darius moved it from moved the capital to Achmeta. That's Malbim's answer, is kings get to do that. However, the Encyclopedia Mikrait offers what Danny had suggested, which is that this is indeed Hamadan. It's a city in northwest Iran. It was the capital city in Media, and the Achaemenid leaders, remember that this whole family of leaders, Cyrus, the various Dariuses, Artaxerxes and all that, they're from the Achaemenid dynasty, so they summer in this place. So there are actually two different suggestions made in the Encyclopedia Mikra'it, because there are two articles that mention this idea, and they're written by two different people. So in one of the articles, in volume one, they suggest that it's because the Achaemenid leaders summered in this place, and then in volume eight, there's a separate article that says that actually Darius had his capital there before moving it to Babylon. Cyrus had his capital there before moving it to Babylon. It's a very interesting point, because one of the issues that we deal with is the question of what was the role of Madai, of Media, in the conquest of Babylon. There's a king who appears in the book of Daniel, who you've all heard of, but historians don't know of his existence. His name is Darius the Mede. He is known to you as the king who threw Daniel into the lion's den. So the problem is that historically there's no record of a Darius the Mede. And so the suggestion that you get in our commentaries is that Darius the Mede, we know the book of Daniel says he's 62 when he takes over the throne, and he only reigns for 1 year. And the idea is that he was involved in helping conquer Babylon. Cyrus says to him, okay, you can take charge of Babylon, and lets him lead, even though Cyrus is the king of the empire overall. And that's this Darius the Mede. And it's interesting only in the sense, in terms of this, that the capital would have actually been in Media at that point because of Darius the Mede. And therefore, that's where the record would have gone of the license to build the temple. But in any case, the bottom line is that this text is not found in the place where they looked. It's not found in the capital city, Babylon. It is instead found in Media, and either in a pouch or in Hamadan, but the text says explicitly, our book says, that it's found in Media. So you find this text, and you start reading the text, and the text says that the text says that Cyrus indeed licenses us to build, but it doesn't match what we saw in chapter 1. So there are two different suggestions that I've seen. One suggestion, which Encyclopedia Mikra'it puts forth, Malbim puts it forth as well, is that the original is gone. We don't have the original, and they don't either. What they have is a document that recorded what had been decreed at the time. And you know the way it works. Some documents will emphasize some things, and some documents will present other things, a summary of what went on. That's the idea. There is evidence to support this in our text as well, because if you look at the wording, at the end of sentence 2, it says, V'chein k'siv b'gava dichrona, and so was written in this scroll that they found. Here is a memory of it. It's a record of it. It's not the original. Now, Malbim on that has a lot of fun. He says, Purim is coming. I know what happened to this document. I know why they don't have the original. Haman. Why in the world would he leave something like that lying around that says Jews are allowed to build their temple? Take a look, please, at source number 7 on your sheet. The bracketed comments are bracketed in the Malbim text that I have, so I just left the brackets in, but it's all in this in his text. V'ne'avad az michtav zeh. This letter was then lost. V'yachol lihiyot, and it could be ki haman ha'agagi shaya ha'mishneh he'avid et ha'michtav alaz shaya le'tzavad ha'yehudim. It could be that Haman gets rid of this letter because it benefits the Jews. V'lo nimtza b'bavel, and so it wasn't found in Babel. And it was through divine supervision that this is found in the capital city in Media. The small text that has a recollection of that order. Why is it surviving in Media? Because Haman's not there. It's there, just like the general chronicles are there, as seen in Megillat Esther, because it wasn't in Haman's hands. So as he reads it, and for all I know, I didn't look at his commentary to Esther, but I would bet that's why the chronicle remains with the record of Mordechai saving the life of the king. Because it's not, Haman doesn't have access to it. So that is, that remains, and here you get this kitzur, this abbreviated recollection of what happened. So that's one approach, is that this document records different things because it's a summary, it's not the original document. And things get slipped in and things get taken out, and that's the way it works when you're working with a copy. The other approach, right, Professor Mordechai Zier Kavod in the Da'at Mikra, actually thinks that it's a separate part of the original document. What you're getting, Laurie likes that idea. You like that idea?
Well, it's all going to go back to my original question about the document itself.
Yeah.
I think there was only one. There was no document distributed right throughout the whole empire. It was a proclamation in words that was sent around the empire.
And the text is just...
And the text was recorded. You cannot have, cannot rescind a written command. Therefore, there cannot be a written command to destroy the temple because that violates the proclamation in the first place.
So I would.
And the Jews did not have a copy of the document because it was only in the royal records.
So a couple of things. In terms of the question of was this one letter and then everybody else is just getting a verbal account. Possible. It's not consistent with other things that Persians did, including obviously Megillat Esther, where they talk about sending runners all over the kingdom with written documents. And it doesn't seem like a good way to make sure your instruction is going to be carried out, doing one text. But I hear what you're saying. In terms of the issue of a text that can't be retracted, I'm actually of the belief, until I see otherwise, that Ahasuerus made that up. There is no such policy, first of all, because you can't run a government that way. That a decree can't be, you know, erased. It's a terrible way to do business. But beyond the impracticality of it, we know that they did. Meaning, Cyrus said, build, and at some point, whether it happened chronologically in chapter 4 before chapter 5, or whether it's going to happen later on, there's going to be a statement made of, stop building, these Jews are rebellious. So they succeed in canceling an order. Now, you're going to say, well, they weren't canceling a written order because there was only this one, you know, paper. But I would say Ahasuerush, being Ahasuerush, says, oh, sorry, I can't back down from what I've said. I guess you're just going to have to go to war. Because that's the kind of person he is. He doesn't back down.
Why?
Because, I mean, there's a much broader way to look at Megillat Esther, which we don't have, you know, time to do here. But Ahasuerus fundamentally reigns out of insecurity. Even before I get into the various midrashim and the layers that they append to it to explain different parts of the story, just a basic read of the story is that he's in a remarkably insecure person. Right? He summons his wife to the party, and when she doesn't show up, he convenes his security cabinet. Right? And the result of it is, I'm going to issue a decree throughout the entire empire about women listening to their husbands. Is he out of his mind? He has just taken a problem that was witnessed by whoever happened to be in the room at the time at the party, and he has turned it into an empire-wide debacle. Dealt with at the highest administrative levels within his government instead of between him and his wife. This is a man who has no sense of the way he's coming across to others, except that he's afraid that they're all going to mock him and make fun of him or tear him down. You see it in the way he responds to Bigtan and Teresh. You see it in his we didn't mention him. Stop it. We're not mentioning him. He who shall not be named. I think that's consistent with the story, right? When he can't sleep, he has his records read and he finds out that he didn't reward somebody and he immediately panics and says, wait, who's outside in the middle of the night? You know, he doesn't allow anybody to come into his throne room uninvited, right? Also a bad idea for government.
More stupid than he is.
Sorry?
He relies on Haman, who's even more stupid than he is.
I'm not so sure about Haman, but let's go back to our story here because we have one book to get. That's another book. Either this text that we see here is a summary, or this text is actually another part of the original letter that we didn't have. And that's another way to look at it. The building is 60 amos tall, 60 amos wide. So Zir Kavod in the Da'at Mikra says this is modeled on the first Beis HaMikdash. It's modeled on the first temple. Because if you go back to, I didn't put it on your sheets because I only noticed this after writing up the source sheets, but if you were to look in Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav, chapter 6 of Kings 1, you would find that the first Beit HaMikdash is 60 cubits long. It's only 30 cubits tall. So Da'at Mikra says, well, maybe there's also the foundations. I don't know how you have 30 amos of foundation. That's a, yeah, that takes a lot of steps for you to get in. And I don't know if that's up to code. But, yes, Elisheva.
I'm just wondering, could it just be that the first letter was more of a summary and this is more of a detail? So that what Tatnai said would match very well with this letter. We talked about the marbles and the wood. Maybe the first letter, what we got the first that was just a quick little summary. You know, here's some instructions. Yes, you can come down. Yes, you can rebuild and get the vessel better. But maybe they didn't get into detail there. That this is your detail.
Right. The problem that I have is just this word dichrona here sounds like it's a memorial of what was there. It makes it sound like this one is more the summary. But I could hear the argument to say differently. I wouldn't be trouble to find out that that's actually the way to read it. But what I do want to show you in Malachim Aleph, in Kings 1, chapter 6, sentence 36. Page 817. Sorry. Top line. Describing the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple. Page 817. It is chapter 6, sentence 36, page 817. In Kings 1. Yeah. In Malachim Aleph. So you see there what they did. Vayimen es hachatzer ha-pnimis, they built the inner yard, the inner room of the temple. Shlosha turei gazit, v'tur krutot arazim. Three rows of gazit, hewn stone, and one layer of cedar wood. So in other words, this construction is going to be modeled on the earlier one. It's matching. Remember we talked about this, ages ago. The need to match what was in the first Beis HaMikdash to give a sense of legitimacy to the second. Same design. Now, but this is ordered by Cyrus, which leads Zer Kavod to suggest that Cyrus must have Jewish counselors of some kind who are informing him of this, and that's helping to craft the message. But that's another piece of this mimicking what was done in the first one in order to give legitimacy to the second one. Okay, so Cyrus wrote his letter, and fortunately, we have a record of it in the palace in Media, if not the palace in Babylon. And therefore, Darius says, well, I guess the Jews are right. But then he gives remarkable instructions to Tatnai. Chapter 6, sentence 6. We are now in page 1825, if we're using the stone Tanakh. Right, everyone clear on where we've come from and where we're going here. We saw Tatnai record everything. We saw the Jews, make their case about how they belong back here. They've been given their vessels. Their sins are forgiven. We saw him right away and asked, so what do we do? And we see that they investigated and they found the original document. So look at what Darius then says. Chapter 6, sentence 6. Ka'an. Now. Tatnai Pachas Avar Nahara. You, Tatnai, governor of the other side of the Jordan. Shestar Boznai Uchnavashon. And Shtar Boznai, as well as all the allies, Afar Sechaye, all of the Persian leaders, Di Ba'avar Nahara, Rechikin Havo Min Tama. He says, go away. Stay away from there, where they're building. Go to Rivla or something. Shavuku La'avidas Beis Elokadeich. Leave the construction of this house of God. Pachas Yehudaye Ulishava Yehudaye Beis Elokadeich Yivnon Alasrei. What I just translated actually could be read in multiple ways. What I just read could be read in multiple ways. You could either read that last clause as the Pacha of the Jews and the Jewish returnees will build this building on its place. Is that the way yours translated? The other way to read it is Pachas Yehudaye is going back before, meaning you should leave the construction, you, the Pacha of these Jews, and let the Jews who return build this house in its place. The problem is there is no Pacha of the Jews. That's the fundamental problem that we're dealing with in this sentence. There is no Pacha of the Jews. There's a Pacha of Aver Nahara. There was a Pacha of the Jews, Shesh Batzar and Zerubbabel, but they're gone.
So could they not just be referring to the leader?
So one way to do it is to say Pacha here is being used out of context. It doesn't mean official, but now it just means leader. The other is he's saying to him, Tadai, you're the Pacha of the Jews, leave them alone. Those are the ways that you could legitimately read this sentence. It's classic in the Mefarshim. The classic approach among the commentators is it means leaders of the Jews.
But
not necessarily. Pacha, you could read it as Shvukul Avidas Beiselaka Deich Pachas Yehudaye Ulshave Yehudaye Beiselaka Deich Yivnon Alasrei. You could do it. I understand what you're saying. I'm actually bothered more by the lamed than by the u. But that's the either way. He says, "I want them to be able to leave." There's a curiosity in terms of this pachas Yehudaye, but the general statement is, "Let them build." And then he goes further. Uminisim te'e. Here's my order. L'madi sa'avdun for what you shall do. M'shave Yehudaye ilech with these Jewish returnees. L'mivne be'selakadech to build this house. Uminichse malka dimidas avar nara asparna nifkesa teheve misyava l'guvraya ilech tila levatala. I want you to take the tax money that you're collecting and I want you to give it to them so that they should be able to build quickly and not get halted. I want them to have, local funding. Forget having to get it from the king's storehouse, which is, already quite a feat. I want it to be locally funded. So, yeah, give them tax dollars. This is an infrastructure project. And whatever they are missing, oxen, rams, sheep, for their burnt offerings for the God of the heavens, chintin, chintin is chita, flour, wheat, malach, salt, chamar, wine, umeshach, oil, kememar kahanaya divi Yerushalayim, according to the orders of the Kohanim in Jerusalem, let that be given to them day by day, dila shalu, without any omission. Just give them everything. Whatever it is they want, let them build, let them bring sacrifices, go for it.
Is he trying to make the Jews feel dependent or grateful? Or
is he just a nice guy?
Or is he Jewish?
might he have a Jewish mother?
Yeah. But the strange thing is, Pesach seems like it's just going to tell us what was in the scroll. And then but we don't just have what's in the scroll, we have this additional information.
Narrative.
Right. Well, it's not.
Well, this is now. This is not narrative. This is his order.
This is Darius's
written order. This is in the letter to Tatanai. No, it's very clear. This is still the letter. The letter doesn't end until sentence 12.
You're left out the end of the phrase, though, which may have something to do with it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, I
didn't get there yet. You're in the next sentence. You're in sentence 10.
Yes. Still in sentence 10.
We're not in sentence 10. We stopped. We just finished 9. Hang in there.
Okay.
But this is a major question, and you heard Joyce, right? Is there something in it for him? Like, what is? Why? We're conditioned to ask this question, right? When someone is going to be generous to us, the question is, what possessed him to do this? Where was his angle?
Yeah. How was it going to benefit him?
Yeah.
It has to be an end case.
So now we turn to sentence 10, Ellen. The lehevon mehakrav nichochen lelaka shemaya. Let them bring their offerings before the God of heaven. Umetzalayin lachaye malka uvnohi. And let them pray for the life of the king and his children. Does that bother you?
He believes in the
Hashem. No, just a good monarch who just wants to keep all of his subjects happy, as long as they're as long as they're loyal to him.
Well, maybe their God is the real one, or maybe this one. I'll go to safe, you know, both gods.
I mean, there's no way around the fact that this is strange. This is, I think it's fair to say, unique in Tanakh. We don't find foreign kings doing things like this. Now, if you go back to the construction of the first temple, then you do. Right? Then you find assistance by others, and you find them sending offerings. You start to have some degree of it, but that's really it for our experience. And you look at it and say, so what's the game there? What's the game here? What are they, you know, is this about personal benefit? Why is Darius so on fire to do this now, you know, that he wants this to happen? So there are going to be a few different points behind this that we're going to have to see, but I want to at least start us on the discussion, and then we're going to have to come back to it. Take a look on your sheet, please, at source number 8. Malden. He says, Tihiyu rechikin min abinyan hazeh, you should distance yourself from this construction. Shelo tishpesu yidei osei amalacha, that you not halt those who are doing the work. Acharei sheyesh lehem reshus alav min koresh, because they have license from Cyrus. In other words, my father, grandfather, whatever the relationship is, said that this should be done, and it didn't get done. Now we're going to make sure, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't get halted again. All of this was from the original decree of Cyrus, not meaning this part, but the earlier part. He told them not to help, he just said don't stop them, and then Darius goes further with it, because he wants to make good on Cyrus's decree. So part of this may be a family issue. You know, I want to complete what my ancestors started, and that could be part of it. But there are other reasons to argue for it. So, God willing, next time we'll come back to this and discuss this assistance he gives for the building of the temple. And yes, we'll have to discuss Elephantine as part of this too. So there's much to say.